Welcome to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter, which is now available on Substack, so you can learn even more about how you can heal yourself naturally. Now, our guest today is Wouter Beidendyke. Wouter Beidendyke is the co-author with his brother, Joris Beidendyke, of a beautiful new book, a gorgeous new book called Plant Power, Heal Your Medicinal Mushrooms Root, Heal Yourself with Medicinal Mushrooms, Roots, Flowers, and Herbs. And you can find out more about Wouter Beidendyke and his wonderful work at his website, ramana.nl/en. Welcome, Wouter Beidendyke.
Thank you very much.
So, Wouter Beidendyke, you have such a fascinating personal history. Can you please explain for our audience your really interesting background as a cultural anthropologist, museologist, and magician in South India, and how you got introduced to the medicinal art of Siddha?
Oh, yes. So actually, I did my final research project for University of Amsterdam as a cultural anthropologist in Southwest India and Kerala on an ancient Indian martial art called Kalaripayattu. And Kalaripayattu is a martial art as well as a sort of healing system whereby the guru calls, it's a plural of guru, teacher, going back all the way, lineages like millennia back, you know, thousands of years back to the first, and it's a representative of all the teachers, living tradition, parampara, they call it. And there I trained for 6 months the ancient martial art, Kalaripayattu, and I also learned about the healing system that takes place in the Kalari. They train in Kalari that are actually fighting temples with some shrines, and there they train their bodies in the early morning and in the evening to strengthen and get more flexible. In the past it was used as like, you know, armies to defend little kingdoms, but now it's more like a sport to keep flexible and sharp and so forth. And the masters, they're also healers. They are like physiotherapists. So if people in the neighborhood have a fracture or a bone problem or a muscle problem, like we would go to the physiotherapist normally in the first thing, or the general practitioner and then the physiotherapist, they go to the Kalari where they heal the bodies with oils, all kinds of ointments like plasters made of resins. They do steam baths to pull out bad waters, they say, all kinds of things. And everybody in Kerala in the monsoon period also takes like a 21-day massage to get out all the toxins from the body yearly, and also to stay flexible, you know. And I trained this martial art, and in one of the Kalaris where I lived for about 5 months, there was also a Siddhar. And Siddhars are actually practitioners of Siddha medicine, and Siddha medicine is an old medical system, also alchemistical system. They're alchemists. It's much older than Ayurveda, which is in from northern India basically, and Siddha is from southern India. It's a Dravidian culture, and these masters, they also make medicines from gold, for example. And when they prepare the medicines, the Siddhars, they put vital breath, like they call prana, in the medicine by moving the sort of a lingam and a sort of stone that represents the female sexual organ and the male sexual organ, and with their breath they put power in the medicine, and they use all kinds of roots, herbs and things to make these medicines exactly balanced on the solar sort of astrology. It's very also a magical system, you know, and they're called the poets of the powers, the quest for immortality. They believe that human bodies have to reach 130 to become totally enlightened and do all the things you need to get totally tuned or something, you know, totally in Samari. And I did my research project there, and that's how I got in touch with a lot of medicinal knowledge from that area, also about the body.
So fascinating. So I know here in the Western world, we have a system of healing called alchemy, which is a system of healing, an ancient system really from the Middle Ages. And there are people who are alchemists. And the alchemists, if you go to an alchemist, they'll give you remedies made from herbs for the physical body, remedies for the mind, and also remedies from this for the soul. So Siddha medicine sounds very similar to alchemy from the West.
Yeah,
Now,
they believe the Siddhas believe that the only true temple is the human body. They don't like worshipping gods and temples and things like that. They believe you have to purify your body completely and eat very special foods and use herbs and plants to tune your body, and then you can reach enlightenment in the body, you know. And they use also breath, vital breath exercises, pranayama, and they use mantras also, like vibrational things to tune the body. And
that's
also to tune the soul in the same time, you know. It's like a microcosms, as above, so below. They see the body is like a sort of cosmic vehicle, like a representation of the whole cosmos, all happening also inside. And humans can become saints. There's some of the masters are like saints, you know.
so fascinating. And I have to give a plug for your book, Plant Power, because this is actually one of the most beautiful books that I've read recently. And it's a very interesting combination of delicious recipes from your brother, who's a Michelin star chef, with deep explanation about the healing power of medicinal mushrooms, roots, flowers, and herbs. Now, you also have a fascinating background as a magician and a mentalist.
It's true, yeah.
I mean, it's like, I want to watch you perform magic and eat at your brother's restaurant. That would be so
We
fun.
combined it once. We did the dinner show for 4 or 5 months in Amsterdam, but he was cooking and I was performing with a whole with acrobats and all kinds of entertainers, you know.
So,
Yeah.
can you share for our audience what is a mentalist? And then tell us the story about how you got into exploring plant medicine for your own personal healing.
Oh yes. So a mentalist is somebody that performs acts whereby he kind of mind reads, predicts the future, stops watches ticking, making objects levitate to the room, bending metal with your mind and things like that, stopping a watch ticking and making feats of like fakirism, also like getting buried alive and levitations and all kinds of things like that to entertain people and make them wonder. You know, I believe wonder is a very beautiful emotion. And actually, I got into this whole thing of magic because my grandfather, he was a general practitioner and a skin doctor, and already from the 1950s onwards he went to India, where he had a guru to learn to meditate and to do yoga to empty his mind. He read a lot of books and he had all kinds of bizarre hobbies, like bees, and he had so many different trees that he planted and all kinds of, and a guru in India. So he told me stories as a small kid that he saw people that could chop off their fingertip and grow it back. And he took Ganga water from the river Ganga, the holy river, and he couldn't understand it was so clean. He did tests in the laboratories and all kinds of stories about magicians and fakirs that he saw. I got fascinated as a small boy by this. And I actually hated reading. And then only I loved Roald Dahl, you know. But at a certain point, he died when I was 12 years old, and I inherited a lot of books, Masters from the Far East, Heal with Your Hands, Building Pyramids to Sharpen Your Razor Blades, and Lost Civilization, all these mysterious things. And I was in a school where all kids always went to Indonesia on holidays. We always went to Belgium, to the Ardennes, like the Belgian mountains, where my parents had a farmhouse with their own vegetable garden that my father still uses in the middle of nowhere. You know, we always drove there in the weekends. My friends always went on big holidays. So after my high school, I thought, okay, now I'm going to make some money and I'm going to go one way ticket to Nepal, to Kathmandu in the Himalayas, and then drive back overland through India, Pakistan, Iran, Turkey, etc. for 6 months with only 750 euros, you know, like £700, $700. We felt like kings, you know. We could buy anything, we could take taxis, everything. 25 guilders a day, like $12 a day. It's amazing. Anyway. So I never really met this mysticism that I read in the books of my grandfather and that he told me about. And then I did my final research project that we just spoke about in the Kalaripayattu, the martial art. And in the province where I was going to live, there was also some fame from magicians that lived there, you know, and they're famous for the magicians there. And I wanted to make a documentary on Indian magic, jadu, you know, jadu it's called. And I interviewed somebody in a magic school, and he showed me a piece of wood on his hand, and it was like, gone. I'm like, what? I thought, this is it. I felt a calling. I thought, this is it. So I went studying with him for 5, 6 months, came back to the Netherlands, started to levitate, and then I was also generating a lot of free publicity. So many front page news all over the world, color pictures and talk shows. Then I was hired by big companies, and in this case, a Dutch insurance company, to put in new energy in their logo. That was a man, a woman, and a little dog, and the man held an umbrella in his hand. And I got inspired by the Belgium surrealist Magritte and Mary Poppins, you know, with the umbrella. And I levitated 12 meters high above a square in Amsterdam Spuis Square. And the whole Dutch press was there on the floor, the big shopping streets. It was so busy, you know. But I only practiced it on 3 meter high, and it was not so windy at the time I practiced it. And when the real thing happened, my ex-wife didn't even want to come with me. She was too scared. So I was so high in the sky, and I was so afraid to die. So I kind of, you know, crushed something in my back. You know, in your spine, you have these, that's a whole complicated, but there's these lamels that protect a little kind of marble that's on a sort of ice hockey puck, you know. And these little lamels broke out. They broke, and the marble shot out like a nerve pain that you collapse from the pain, you know, pam pam. And nobody could cure me here in the Netherlands. So I was doing physiotherapy, Mensendijk, orthomanual therapy. I took Röntgen pictures. I went so many times to the general practitioner, painkillers, whatever. And I was walking almost diagonal. I couldn't drive my car anymore. Or if I drove my car, I had to lie down for 20 minutes to balance it out. Terrible. 7 years of torture. Thought I have to take an insurance or something like an employment insurance. I'm going to go in a wheelchair at age 35. Then I had to do a performance in Suriname, in South America, in the Eastern Amazon rainforest. It's a former Dutch colony with a lot of people that know a lot about plants. It's one of the most culturally diverse lands in the world, and also one of the most biodiverse countries in the world. 95% of the land is covered with virgin Amazon rainforest, you know. And there's people from in the indigenous, but also the Maroons, that are the African descendants. They escaped from the Dutch Stavridentie, independent from the Dutch in the frost, and they are bone setters, masters of the bones. And before I had to perform there for the Miss India election, I had to do a show there. I got a book. There I read in that there was a small boy, 12 years old. The book was called Greetings to the Queen by Kaya and Anima. The boy had a disease on his bones, osteoporosis, that the heads of your bones crumble, you know. It's a disease that normally only happens when people are 55 or older. This guy was 12. The doctor in the Netherlands said, there's no medicine, nothing we can do for you. Only go in a wheelchair and walk with walking sticks so you don't pressure the bones too much and they don't crumble too fast. So the guy went to Suriname with his mother, and they met this man called Pake, near Paramaribo, the capital. And this man is a bone master, and he said to him, throw away the wheelchair, throw away the walking sticks, and use these oils. He has two oils. One oil can make bones flexible like spaghetti. If you put it here, it becomes very, spaghetti-like in the middle of your bone. Or the other one that makes bone grow. When you put a plaster with that ointment with all these herbs in it, it starts to grow bone like in a cave or something, you know, like the stalactites and stalagmites, like slowly develops. So it can manipulate the bones. Anyway, the guy got these plasters and this treatment of him. And after 3 weeks, he could run again. After 4 weeks, climbing trees, jump out of it. 6 weeks later, back in the Netherlands, in the hospital, Röntgen pictures, all bones had got grown back, you know. And the doctor said, it's a medical miracle. It's a miracle. So I read this story before going there. I heard all the famous Dutch football players with Surinamese background also went there, where they couldn't get cured here in the Netherlands. And the best, my sister's African descendant, Surinamese, half Surinamese. Her mother is a black woman. And her best friend, Hannah Blanca, was my best botanical friend. She always took me in the forest in the Amazon to explain me about the plants. She also said, Wouter, let's go now to Pake. I paid the man 220 euros, you know. And the analyze. He analyzed my bones. Oh, just the bones like this. He said, just believe it. It's just 1,000 Surinamese dollars, 220 euros, and for the rest of your life, you get the medicine. Whenever you have a problem again, you get medicine again. And it was not a small problem. You have it takes about 5 months, and then after 3 months, I was becoming so flexible, I could bend my whole body again. The pain was going away, and now I never use the plasters anymore, and it's cured. So I thought, wow. And I thought, these plants have so much tremendous power. I need to do something with it. You know, I always thought that Western medicine is superior, but it's not superior in all cases. There's so many other systems in the world that really can do amazing things. And I got so fascinated by the powers of the plants that I decided to start and study pharmacognosis. That's 2,000 years of pharmacy knowledge, and you learn which molecules are in the plant, which plant part, how to extract, and what are the dosages, etc., etc., and how to cure with plants. Like it's the same, actually, a pharmacist does nowadays with monomolecular medicines, but plant medicines often contain much more molecules, so it's a bit more complicated to work with, but they're as strong or sometimes stronger or more interesting for me than some of the other medicines we have in the West, you know?
So, Walter Bidendijk, with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan. I'm a medical intuitive healer. You're listening to the Natural Healing Show, and we're listening to Walter Bidendijk and talking about his fascinating history and his wonderful book. Amazing book, Plant Power, Heal Yourself with Medicinal Mushrooms, Roots, Flowers, and Herbs. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A CogniMovement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the CogniMovement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Walter Bidendijk. I really love your book, Plant Power, Heal Yourself with Medicinal Mushrooms, Roots, Flowers, and Herbs, because as a medical intuitive healer with 32 years experience myself, I read a lot of books and they'll talk about the healing power of, you know, food healing, for example, or there's recipe books. So your book combines both with information about the healing power of mushrooms, roots, flowers, and herbs, along with these pretty amazing recipes from your brother, who's a Michelin star chef. So let's go into talking about this. You talk about medicinal mushrooms. What is your favorite healing mushroom and why?
They're all very interesting, the medicinal ones, and as well the edible ones, but at the moment I'm really fascinated by the Amanita muscaria mushroom, you know, the red one with white dots. And It's a mushroom that's got demonized by certain forces in the world. It's not necessary to say exactly what it was, but
Okay, and can you give the name of the mushroom again?
the fly agaric, but it's a one that I shouldn't recommend people to experiment with it because it's a special one. But I find it very fascinating. You know, in Russia you have pharmacies where they sell extracts of it, and they work with it already much longer. And also in Northern Europe, in the Sami people, the nomads from Sweden and Finland, Norway, and also in our cultures, it was used pretty much. Also, even the Mithras cult, a drug cult that civilized Europe, according to Professor Karl Rook from Boston University, was the sacrament used in these ancient, could say almost religious movements. You know, a lot of
So does it have
ancient mystical practitioners used sacraments to get into altered states of consciousness.
another name? Because a lot of the mushrooms have
A
multiple.
fly agaric, the red one with white dots, you know, the famous one. But you have to dry it first. There's certain procedures that you have to prepare it in order to use it, and you should really take care with the dosages. So I don't recommend people to touch that one yet. Read first five books about it. But what I find very fascinating is also a combination, for example, of psilocybin mushrooms. They contain the trippy mushrooms, but if you use it in a very low dose, combined with lion's mane, the mushroom of neurogenesis, and for example, a little bit of niacin, vitamin B3, you get neurogenesis, synaptogenesis. You can build new brain connections, like an Einstein medicine, and that's very recent research. Has been done by a couple of universities, and also like the John Hopkins Institute is busy with it. There's at the moment 40 universities in the world that research these substances, and it's very interesting, you know. But it depends also for what purpose you want to that it becomes my favorite mushroom, you know, because reishi mushroom is also very interesting. It's mushroom that improves thinking power according to Chinese medicine, you know.
Yes, and I have a personal testimony of lion's mane because about 5 years ago, I had a total hip replacement surgery. I'm 66 years old, and I don't usually take any drugs, but you go through surgery, you have to take, go through anesthesia. Well, after anesthesia, I had really a hard time remembering. So once I could get off all the pain medicine, then I've been taking lion's mane. And I went to the local farmers market this past Saturday, actually, and I got an extract made by him. And his company here in the US is called AndrewsAcres.com. But he had lion's mane there, like a fresh lion's mane mushroom. And I asked him about cooking it, and he said it sort of tastes like crap.
Yes,
And it's a beautiful thing, but lion's mane is really helpful for restoring your memory. So
yes.
I started taking lion's mane to help me recover after having the anesthesia. Now, in your beautiful book, you also talk about healing fruits. What is your favorite healing fruit?
I like very much papaya, you know. You know papaya? Because it can it works like enzymes to chop down proteins, you know. So sometimes I use it to cleanse my system, and it's also good against something that they call hartlijvigheid, like when you're a little bit when your muscles are a little bit stiff, you know, you feel a little bit stiff everywhere in your body, makes it more flexible. It's used in the meat industry. Papain, it's a molecule that's to be found in the papaya to make meat. They inject it in meat to make it more flexible because it sort of digests meat actually. But I like it just to eat it as a medicinal plant. You shouldn't eat too much. Eh? You should, with all these things, it's very important. But most people would know already. But for a few that don't know, it's the dose that decides if a plant or a mushroom becomes a medicine or a poison. You know that already. Paracelsus, an ancient doctor, said, and many. That's what herbalists do, you know. People sometimes think when you talk about herbalism, they think, oh, it's something from the compost pile and it's old-fashioned and doesn't work, but it's super strong. You know, if you give somebody 3 cups of strong coffee, they're trembling. That's phytotherapy, plant medicine, you know, but then the dose is too high. So you have to really remember, take the right amount to make the functional workings in your body. Otherwise, you can overdose, you know, and the side effects are also not pleasant or not good. So you have to know what to do, but this knowledge is coming back more and more to us again, you know.
Yes, I love that you bring that up, that the dose has to be very specific. So, for example, with my lion's mane extract, I'm only like one dropper full once a day. That's
Oh
it.
yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's it.
And did you feel really some good recoveries when you did after the surgery, the fresh lion's mane?
Yes, and well, yes, that, and of course, I'm juicing, drinking lots of fresh organic juice every
That's
day,
awesome.
a wide variety of fruits and vegetables. Now,
Yes.
so your favorite fruit would be papaya.
For the moment, or blueberries, wild blueberries, I love them too. You know, they're very good for your eyes.
Yeah, so wild blueberries. So tell us more about why wild blueberries are good for your eyes.
Look, it is very interesting to know that, for example, Swedish F-16 pilots, you know, in these sort of fighter jets, before they fly, they had to eat 1 kilo of these berries. Somebody told me, it wasn't allowed to tell me. It's like a secret, but it's now I know, because it works on the eyes. And old in the Second World War, the British pilots that worked in the war, they also eat always the jam of the blueberries. And also Nostradamus, who was like a seer, but he was also a pharmacist, and Hildegard von Bingen, they all talk about the blueberries for the eyes. And it just like coffee improves your cognitive functions for 10 minutes or something, you know. The blueberries improve your eye functions for temporarily, you know. But I think maybe if you eat it very regularly, it's good for your eyes, and it's very good for your intestines to balance out your whole intestine system, your microbiome to balance that out. And it's also a tonic for your DNA, you know. And it is proven that even the blueberries they sell in America, they're not the wild ones, you know. They're white inside, the bigger ones. Even if you give these compared to strawberries to rats in a laboratory setting, cognitive function after a while were better of the rats that eat the blueberries that even are the like artificial, not artificial, but like planted and you know the other ones only grow in old grown forests, you know, under pine trees, and yeah, they are very powerful. I
So I
love them.
know that blueberries, as well as other dark blue fruits and vegetables, are high in something called anthocyanin. And
Exactly. Yes.
anthocyanin is a water-soluble antioxidant, and so phytochemical. So it's going to be really good for your whole body. So,
Exactly.
right, high antioxidant. Now, what about your favorite healing herb? What's your favorite healing herb?
I like very much St. John's wort also, you know, but it's going to be in my second book. I also wrote a second book. It's soon to be published in Dutch. Plant Power 2, I call it. I don't know the real title, but maybe Alex St. John's wort. By the ancients, it was used to clean the liver, you know, but it's a very good antidepressant. And it's interesting also that you in the Netherlands, it's not allowed to put it on a package of St. John's wort that it's an antidepressant, even though any psychiatrist knows it. And if you check it out in the double blind studies on PubMed.gov, that's a website, for example, www.pubmed.gov. It's good to put in the Latin name of a plant, and you can find all the research papers that's also checked by doctors and general practitioners. I always do that. But St. John's wort is very good as an antidepressant, you know, sometimes in the winter when it's getting, or autumn when it's changing the weather, I can feel a little bit down. And then I take 2 cups of this, and it helps me in combination with a tiny, tiny bit of psilocybin mushroom. It makes some new brain connection, and I feel fresh again. But they say it's dangerous to use it with certain medicines because, for example, I think when you take the anticonception pill as a woman and a few other medicines, they'll get out of the body, you know, because the ancient used this plant to clean the liver. So it takes out toxins of the body. So if you have certain medicines in your body, they go out faster. That's actually what it does. That's why they say it's dangerous. But you do have to take care with it if you take certain medicines. But still, I find it a very fascinating plant. Yeah.
And I really appreciate that you talk about the dangers of St. John's wort, because St. John's wort, I think, is one of the more well-known herbs that's used here in the United States for depression. But many people make the mistake of trying to take St. John's wort along with prescription antidepressants. So, can you explain for our audience why taking St. John's wort, if you do that, you do not want to take it with prescription antidepressants.
Anyway, also when you want to use it, I highly recommend you to just first talk to your general practitioner, you know, to say, hey, look at this. And sometimes they don't have time to read all the research papers, what it actually does, or study a bit of good pharmacognosy books like Herbal Constituents by Lisa Ganora, for example, my book and a few others that are verified, also like clinical herbalist. But I'm not a doctor, I'm not a general practitioner. I just know from certain plants what they do. So I'm not a specialist to give people medical advice. I won't do that, you know. I just say this and this is what I know about the plant, and there's much more to be found in my book and other books. But then, if you have these kind of things, always go to your general practitioner and talk with him or her as a backup, you know. And then check, read for yourself also. Read a lot of books because not everything can be found on the internet. You should also know. Read a lot of books, research papers, and then start thinking for yourself. And sometimes you just go to your general practitioner and say, hey, look, I prefer not to use a certain antidepressant. So I would like to do it naturally. You have the power. You can decide whatever you want on your own body and your own brain. You know, we are boss in our brain and body. So you go along with a master of the medicinal practitioners, the medicinal world of our Western society. And maybe on the side, you take a phytotherapist or your own books and come and have discussions with them. You know, my general practitioner, she read the book. You know what she said, Wouter? You really know or not. It is checkable. It's scientific. This is the future of medicine. You know, we have to go back to the plants again because I think we can do so much ourselves also. And alongside, she only said, yeah, we are not taught about it anymore at school, you know, in the university. So we have to re-educate ourselves. But yeah, there's a lot of things that we can do ourselves, you know.
Yes, and since we're on the subject of St. John's wort, so I two of my 10 books, I'm an author also, and two of my books are about how to heal depression naturally without drugs.
Oh, yes, I'm going to read it.
Yes. And so there's so many horrible side effects of antidepressants, and many people find difficulty once they get on antidepressants. It's actually difficult to get off, and they have to go through a process. Here at the Natural Healing Show, I've done a number of shows about how to get off antidepressants.
Oh, yeah.
And so, if someone is feeling depressed, would you recommend that they start with St. John's wort first before trying antidepressants?
First, you need to know something like molecules are patterns of energy in relationship, right? That's a definition that I learned from Lisa Ganora, professor in pharmacognosy. And so these plants contain molecules. Some plants contain up to 5,000 different active molecules, some in a higher content, some in a lower content, but they can do something. And from certain plants, we know this and this are their effects. They're kind of time-tested, double-blind studies, etc., etc. Some are newer things that are discovered, like the psilocybin, that is hippies and people that have been experimenting with these things underground, know this already for years, but now it's getting to become mainstream, or it is already mainstream. And but so every human body has different receptors, but almost the same. So from certain plants, you know, okay, or from certain medicines, you know, okay, this is going to be the effect on a certain amount of people in double blind studies, so you know it works. But then that particular medicine maybe works very well in my body and my neighbor's body, but maybe there's another person that something else works better on that person, you know? So what I did a lot of research on what are the traditional plants that have been used and methods to overcome depression, for example. You know, the dopamine and the serotonin is not good, so you have to see enough light in your eyes, you have to move your body enough, you have to have a social network, even though you lie in your bed and you can't move and you feel like a zombie, but you still have to force yourself to do something. Then you have to make a good balance in your microbiome, you know, because a lot of how we feel in the brain is connected to our intestines. So we have to feed the right bacteria. We all have billions of bacteria. Everybody that listens to your show knows that. We have to feed the right ones with inulin, for example. That's a sort of food that these good bacteria love. So you can also feed new probiotics and prebiotics, but it's better to feed the ones that are already living inside of you with Jerusalem artichoke. By artichoke itself and other things that burdock root that contain inulin, so that should be in balance and you feel also better in brain, you know. And then you have to move your body enough, and then you can work with your food, or you can try St. John's wort. But I would talk with my general practitioner and or psychiatrist or whatever and see how can we do this? I want to get off from it, you know? And the best is when you, okay, maybe some people have genetically or in their family lines an easier way to get depressed, you know, from the weather or whatever. And others, they have other things that are more affecting their body, you know? So if you know that you have this, or you can still, I believe, with natural means, do a lot to rebalance the system, you know, and to find back the balance. And sometimes some people say if you take St. John's wort, it starts working only after 3 weeks. That's the protocol that I read in a lot of books. But for me, it works if I take two or three cups in a row, then it already does something, you know. Otherwise, you can go overboard again. You can get too active. That's also not what you want, right? That's for me how it works. So with these things, I see them also like folk medicines. So normally you would go to a phytotherapist, a herbal doctor, herbalist, and maybe your general practitioner on the side, and they would tune your body back with the knowledge they have. And you can try St. John's wort, but what works also very well is a microdose protocol of psilocybin mushrooms. But the general practitioners don't use it yet. It's starting, you know. First, I read yesterday or something. No, I saw a video that it's the treatment. Oh, yeah, even in the best Dutch newspaper, you know, they have this public sort of video about it. It costs $10,000, such a treatment. It's free. That thing you can find in the forest everywhere, you know. I don't understand. Then it's again made in a lab, blah, blah, blah. No, you can just pluck it and it's very cheap. That's the funny thing about it, also, you know, really.
So, Valter Bidendieck, you bring up a couple of important points. One is the concept of biochemical individuality. And here in
Yes.
natural healing, that's one of the things that we really focus on is that, as you say, one man's meat is another man's poison. So, if you're thinking about using any herbs for medicinal purposes, you really do need to work with a professional who can help you gear the plant medicine to you. And then the second thing that you point out is the importance of healing your gut when you want to heal depression. Because what a lot of people don't know is that over 90% of your serotonin is actually produced in your GI tract.
Exactly. Yep.
And with that, let's take a break and listen to another message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, and we're listening to Valter Bidendieck talk about his beautiful book, Plant Power. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Radio, the The station that makes you feel good.
Valter Bitendieck, one of the things I love about your beautiful book is that you really open up the whole array of our eyes about understanding the healing power of plants, because many people are familiar, for example, with the healing power of mushrooms or herbs, but there's also flowers. And I am a gardener. I have an organic garden. I raise orchids in my healing room, and and I use a lot of flower essences in my healing practice. So you talk in your book about healing flowers. So what is your favorite healing flower and why?
I love saffron, you know, saffron. It makes you happy also. It's also a good antidepressant, actually. We were talking about it.
Yeah.
Makes you happy, you know. In all the old herb books, it's written if you take 10 grams of saffron, you will die from laughter, you know. Also, I was before with a girl from Persia, from Iran, and her mother always said, in Persia, we always say 10 grams of saffron, you will laugh yourself to death. You know, but you should take also a very small amount and not too long in a period, you know. Otherwise, it's a neurotoxin. But if you take a little bit, I put it, for example, in my oatmeal, or I put it on my cappuccino, and it makes you happy, you know. It's also like the colors of vitality. If you eat colorful food, you got a lot of antioxidants inside, you know. The strongest antioxidants are actually made already by our liver, glutathione. But it's also good to sometimes support your system with some extra antioxidants, you know, to defend yourself and to not let free radicals catch you too fast, you know.
And what is your favorite healing root?
Root, I love ginseng very much, you know. My uncle, the brother of my father, is a pharmacist. And when I was 12 years old, I was fascinated by ancient Chinese culture and medicine. And I said to him, hey, Johan, what do you think about the ginseng root? The Chinese use it already for over 5,000 years. And they say it's a very interesting root. It can do this and that. And he said, no. It has never been proven. It's just a story and this and that. I say, hey, man, this people, they have a scripture that's 5,000 years non-stop in use. They have this medicinal system. Do you think they're crazy? They use it for a reason, you know. So, you know, I was a bit grumpy. But then, when I was 18, he came back to me and said, Wouter, you were right. All astronauts from the International Space Station, they use ginseng against stress. It's a very good adaptogenic. That means that you can more easily travel from the polar circle to the equator and to the desert, because the body gets the shock, and then you get more easily disease or some little things that are inside come out faster. So if you take an adaptogenic, it's good to it balances you and it helps against stress, and it's good for, it's called a panacea, you know, a healer of everything. And I find it interesting. It's a nice herb or a root that you can use after like 55, 60 or something to get a sort of vitality, you know. And you use it also for like 3 weeks minimum. You can do once a year or twice a year, 6 weeks use, you know, to have a sort of build up a power. It's good for your chi energy. Some people say it's too hot energy. In China, they say, then you can better use ginger. But I like very much ginseng. I love it.
Now, many of us make a mental distinction between the food that we eat and natural healing remedies that we take. How can we begin to use our food as medicine?
Oh, yes. I think we can already start by something very simple. That is to improve the amount of phytonutrients. That means fruits and in our diet. So they say that it's good actually to eat a minimum of 30 different plants a week. I personally eat everything. I try to eat as organic as possible. But if you're a vegetarian also, it's good to have a diversity of foods, because body itself knows what to do with it. It gets into your stomach, then gets digested in your intestines, comes in your bloodstream, and your body knows what to do with it. For example, if you eat a dandelion, which is yellow, the body is so smart, you put it inside and it goes immediately also to the yellow spot in your eye, where you can see better colors, you know. So the body knows what to do with it. If you put a lot of diversity of food in the body knows what to do with it, and you have enough nutrition to be healthy. Another thing you could do that I learned from one of my teachers is dinner for breakfast, you know. So you eat a good breakfast with lots of veggies, nice and fatty things like coconut fat or other fats and nuts. and a bit of protein. That can be a piece of meat, but also nuts or an egg or something else like protein. And if you eat a lot of diversity and quite a nice, balanced, good breakfast, you have a lot of base energy for the rest of your day, and you don't need to eat sometimes often till 2 or 3 in the afternoon, And that's also something good you can do for your health, I think. And also fermented foods, like kimchi, fermented cabbage, or kefir, or a gherkin, or sauerkraut. Things that are fermented are very good for your microbiome, for the bacteria that live inside of us, that help us and support us and our allies.
Now, your brother and co-author of this beautiful book is a Michelin star chef, which for anybody who doesn't know, which is a huge accomplishment. And I always joke, it's funny because I am a nutritionist. I help people all the time, but I am not a chef. I joke there's cooks and there's chefs.
Oh, yes.
I'm just a get it done person. So if someone is not a chef, what are some of the simplest ways that we can use our food as medicine?
Just you can already start with your breakfast. If you find it too hard to make a big, huge breakfast with veggies and all these things, you can also do cereals. But then you take whole wheat cereals and you put in seeds like sunflower seeds, sesame seeds, pumpkin seeds, then you already have three different seeds. Then you take a few berries like blueberries, acai berries, or goji berries, with just a tiny amount, because from goji berries you shouldn't eat too much, but it's a good berry that revitalizes the system and makes you a little bit younger. But and other berries, or a little piece of apple, and then you have a lot of diversity already. Maybe a little bit of maca powder, it's a sort of root from the Andes, it's good for your hormone balance. They have a lot of diversity already in your breakfast. Just diversify. If you make an omelet, not just eggs, but put an onion, a little bit of garlic, bit of parsley, bit of turmeric. It's a sort of root like ginger, anything. You have a much more, and a mushroom, It's proven that by the University of Singapore that eating twice a week, like 100 grams of mushrooms, improves cognitive function. Brain functions become better, So just eat twice a week a variety of different edible mushrooms. Very easy, so you can do easy things. You don't have to be a chef, but you can improve the quality of the nutrition you get in your body that work actually medicinally.
Now, so I know that sometimes when we have family members who are really good at something, that kind of rubs off on you. So your brother, the co-author, is the Michelin star chef. How has hanging out with your brother and writing this book improved the way that you eat or cook?
Look, I know what the plants do, or more than my brother, and he knows more than me how to make it tasty, And we've always been cooking in our family. Our parents used to give us a knife when we were 3 or something and cut the potatoes and the beans and whatever. So we are all on it, but he improved very much in it, and he co-authored the book with me as a chef. He developed the recipes, and I wrote the text about the history of the plants and the uses and the medicinal workings. The influence he had was, that you start to think, oh yeah, you can do it like that. You can also make a little spring roll with 7 ingredients, with some nettle and a bit of carrot and a bit of this and this, and then you already have 7 vegetables. It's a nice recipe that you can find in the book. It looks almost like a langoustine. But he also says, be flexible with the things you use. It's not so strict. If it's a recipe like this and you don't have it at home, you add something else that you think can fit in. So it's quite flexible. There's some high haute cuisine, like avant-gardistic medicinal recipes in it, but also very easy to do and quick, nice things that you can make and improve your health by eating the right and the right things, and tasty.
You've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. Our guest today has been Wouter Bijdendijk, talking today about his beautiful book, Plant Power: Heal Yourself with Medicinal Mushrooms, Roots, Flowers, and Herbs. And again, as someone who's read many books about natural healing, this is one of the best books I've read, because it explains to you about these healing powers, and then also explains to you how to make practical recipes that you can cook in your kitchen. You can find out more about me at katherinekerrigan.com and unlimitedenergynow.com. And you can find out more about Wouter Bijdendijk at his website, Ramana nl/en. And remember, when you're wanting to heal yourself naturally, really one of the first places you need to turn is actually with what you feed yourself. And feeding yourself with medicinal mushrooms, roots, flowers, and herbs, you can feel amazing naturally. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.